Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to invite you, like I did last week, if you would stand up. Take a few moments to greet one another and move forward in your pews so you can sit next to one another. Those of you in the back, I think you're going to have a better worship experience. It's more fun to sing next to one another. And I think you're going to enjoy this next hour much more. And we got great feedback last week from this little tactic. Excellent. Thank you all. And those of you who are just joining us, if you could come to the front of the sanctuary here and sit with one another. It is wonderful to be with you this afternoon, and I extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the very first time. We're glad that you're here. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of service, integrity, and joy. Following the service, you're invited to join us for refreshments in Parish Hall, and there you can meet friends, new and old, visit our bookstall, stop by our information tables. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the Parish Hall. As always, our children's and Anderson libraries are open after every service and available to you. They're located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. And I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity in your order of service. This serves as a guide and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at the church. In particular, I want to highlight this Wellspring Wednesday, which is the last one of this church year. And we're going to feature our talent show. Yay! So if you have a talent or a parlor trick, or some other unique characteristic that you can demonstrate that's appropriate, please contact me or Carrie Meyer so that you could be part of our talent show. Dinner's at 6, so we're gonna have a fabulous dinner, the menu looks great, and then we'll move directly into our talent show to finish off our year of Wellspring Wednesday. This Thursday, May 24th at 1 o'clock, we will have a life writing class with a loft writing instructor. This is a class open to those who are 65 and older and those who are 65 and younger. So please contact me if you'd like to sign up. And next Sunday, co-sabbatical minister Justin Schroeder and worship associate Brian Newhouse will lead our worship on service and sacrifice, the complexities of Memorial Day. And please note, we move to one service. As you can tell by our sparse attendance here, the Minnesota cultural phenomenon of going to the lake has started. So please do note, one service at 10 o'clock. No more 3 services until we start back up in the fall. And at the conclusion of the service, today's worship leaders, Katie Lawson and Leah Rivamonte, would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
Thank you.
No. No, 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 no. Feel the narrow shape of your mouth as you say it with me. No! The tongue catches the upper palate behind the front teeth. The lips pucker. The cheeks hollow. Now, say yes. Stretch it out. Yes. Notice how much more open your mouth is. You almost have to smile when you say it. Yes, yes, yes. Now say it to yourself. Turn that smile inward and really mean it. Come, let us worship together.
Please join me in a unison reading, number 563. A person will worship something, have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret, in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will out. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we worship, we are becoming. every Sunday, we set aside time in the service to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycles of life and death and create a circle of love and witness with our intention. Our hearts today are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members who are in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Tom Inman, father to Mary Lee Inman and grandfather to Joseph Lafrola. Tom died peacefully on May 11th in the company of family members following a long struggle with dementia, and we certainly hold his family in our prayers. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Jeanette Lowry, who died on Thursday, May 17th after a long illness. We hold Jeanette's family in our hearts, her son Phil, daughter-in-law Madeline, and her grandchildren, Nicola Weston and William. While we also hold sorrow in our hearts, there is joy. We celebrate the birth of Alexander Weston McCrady, born April 18th, 2007, to Kate and Rob McCrady, and the little brother of Eric and Owen. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Please join me in an attitude of prayer or meditation. Dear, dear Spirit, life of life, you are everywhere. You say in so many ways, you are not alone. You belong. Beauty will prevail. Yet there are times when we would like to close up like a flower in the night. We despair to be a part of a world where children die, where the cycle of violence feels like it will never end, and where we so often fail to treat the earth with the tenderness it needs. We ache because happiness is too often fleeting and because we seldom know what to do to relieve our longing. During those times, bring us faith that while we may be shut against the darkness for a time, we are not cut from the plant, that roots still hold us and bring us nourishment so that when we are ready to open, we can. Because we know that when we are able to open wide to the sun and the rain and the gaze of friendship, the bees can take our blessings to places to which we may never know it traveled. Amen. Today's offering is going to Southern Minnesota Legal Services, which is a legal aid program that provides legal services and civil matters to low-income clients in Ramsey and 32 other Minnesota counties. It provides advocacy and education services to thousands of low-income clients each year in a broad range of areas. A longtime member of this church is retiring as executive director of Southern Minnesota Legal Services. So we honor him tonight with this offering, Bruce Beneke.
Okay, so the story is a little bit more of an experiment. Look, I got the bad cart. Does that happen to you at the grocery store? So, Harrison and Haley, can you guys see from where you're at? You want to come up here? You guys golden? Come on up, Harrison. You can even help me, man. Oh, yeah, totally. This will be hands-on. So, we're going to talk about vessels, right? This is a vessel. Is it an empty vessel or a full vessel? It's full, obviously, right? And a vessel, in fact, is anything that has space inside it. Anything that's empty and has the potential to hold something and carry something somewhere. So here I have a vessel, and I've managed to fill it up with some pretty big rocks. I think there's, let me check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 11 rocks in here. Big rocks, right? So it looks full, right? So here's what I want us to do, Harrison, because I think it's maybe not full. So will you come here and help me for a second? Is there a possibility that it might be able to hold more? Yeah, especially if it's this stuff. So, help me out. You do the loading up and I'll do the shaking down. Yeah, they're cold and wet, aren't they? So, it looked full, but it's not full yet. Maybe you can get more in? Okay, I'll give it a good shake. You get another handful. Oh yeah, it's not full yet. Okay, I'll give it another shake. So, Haley, how come I can fit more stuff in here? I mean, it looked pretty full. Yeah, because there's cracks between the rocks. So since the big rocks don't fit together, there's a little more space in there. And if we know how to fill it up, we can, right? All right. Full now?
No.
No, you're not fooled, are you? All right, Haley. It might look full, but I think that we can fit more in as long as it's smaller. So we have some sand. And if we pour some sand in fact, go ahead, just, I mean, like, really give it a good dumping. If we put some sand in, there's room in there. It looked full, but it's not. There's plenty more room. In fact, I'm gonna give it a shake. Scoop it on there. Oh yeah. So Harrison, how come we can fit sand in there? Right, so the little rocks don't fit exactly together, so there's some space left, right? Yeah, this is really small stuff, isn't it? This is really small. All right. It's awfully full. Let me give it a good shake. But is the jar full yet, Harrison? No, it's not. Can we fit more sand in? It might take some effort. I don't know if we can fit more sand in, but we might be able to still fill it up. Yeah, with water, because where's the water going to go when we pour it in? Give it a little bit of a shake, Harrison. Keeping in mind that it's a glass jar. It's heavy, isn't it? Oh yeah, really sandy. So this is really, is it fuller now than it was when we started out?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what happens. Can we fit water in? Yeah, check it out, we can fit even more in. So the glass jar, this vessel here, it sort of melts the sand, it sends it down deep into the jar. It looked full at the beginning, and somebody might have said, oh, you know, that jar is already full of big rocks. There's not really any space in there, right? So here's what else I want to show you. Check out this vessel. So here's another glass jar. What did I put in first? Put the sand in, right? Then I put the rocks in. Here's what I want you to think about. Vessels are things that can hold things, right? And you can think of our lives as a kind of vessel, something that can hold things. We can choose what we put into our lives. We can choose big things, we can choose medium-sized things, we can choose small things, and most of us want to choose things that make us happy, that make us feel good about being alive. So if we imagine that the big rocks, like this one here, that big rock right there, kind of like that one, what if those, we imagine, are the big, important things in our lives? Like, super important, make us really happy. What would those be for you guys? Definitely animals and fun and friends and family. Exploding. You're a boy after my own heart, Harrison, but that still makes me nervous. So we fit all the big things in, right? And so for me, it would be kind of like for you, where it would be like friends and family, and maybe this big rock down here would be the big important thing of taking care of my body and my mind and my spirit. These things really bring some important happiness into my life. Then maybe there's some medium happiness that once I got the big stuff in there, I can fit some medium happiness in there. Like this one here is like having a garden. That's kind of important to me. And this one over here is being able to eat Thai food on occasion. And this one over here is, you know, being able to put a good CD in my CD player and listen. So those are all the medium kind of, yeah. Zap is a medium thing for you. And then there's all the little, tiny, small things in our lives that maybe seem to make us happy, but they're so small it's hard to tell. Like whether we got to play a video game before we went to sleep last night, or whether they had our favorite ice cream, which is bubblegum, or our second favorite ice cream, which is like chocolate or something like that. These are all really, really small things. But we can fit them all in there, and then there's even space to fill it all up to overflowing, in the same way that our lives can fill up with joy. But check this out. I think of the water kind of like joy. It's the stuff that kind of flows in between all the things that we choose to put in our lives. If we start with the little stuff, the little piddly things in our lives, you know, like whether we get to play video games for 2 hours, or whether we get to go home and, you know, turn on our favorite TV channel, or whether Haley gets to pick what we're watching tonight, little small things, if I put them in first, and then I put in what? Then I put in the medium stuff, right? And this is the same amount of sand about as we fit in there, and I know it's exactly the same amount of gravel as we fit in there, because I did some measuring. Watch what happens when I try to put the big important stuff in. How many was I able to fit in there? I was able to barely, 3.5, right? 3.5 rocks. If you start with the little stuff, and then you do the medium stuff, it gets mighty hard to fit the big important stuff in, right? Yeah, you could take that rock out. So you might say, well, okay, so what can this jar of rocks teach us about living? If we're gonna try to fit a lot of things into our lives, what should we start with? The big important stuff or the little tiny things? We should start with the big important stuff, because then we can fit in a couple more things and we can fit in a little bit more. And eventually, if we choose the right things, we can make sure that our vessels are filled to capacity. You know, we could try the water in there. Will a lot of stuff crammed into our vessels make us happy? A lot of people have some ideas about that. So thank you for listening. I'm going to wheel our experiment over this way.
This is a poem called Locked In, and it's by a Swedish poet called Ingemar Leckius. All my life, I lived in a coconut. It was cramped and dark, especially in the morning when I had to shave. But what pained me the most was that I had no way to get in touch with the outside world. If no one out there happened to find the coconut, if no one cracked it, then I was doomed to live my whole life in the nut, and maybe even die there. I died in the coconut. A couple of years later, they found the coconut, cracked it, and discovered me shrunk and crumpled inside. What an accident! If only we had found him earlier, then maybe we could have saved him. Maybe there are more of them locked in like that, they said, and started knocking to pieces every coconut within reach. No use. Meaningless. A waste of time. A person who chooses to live in a coconut. Such a person was one in a million. But I have a brother-in-law who lives in an acorn.
Thank you.
loving going in and out under this trellis. It's making me feel very festive. Well, welcome to our Festival of Metaphors. We're going to have some coconuts, some rocks, sand, and puzzle pieces. It's just going to, a whole bunch of them to take and put in your pocket. Some years ago, I was working with a yogi from Minneapolis, which still kind of tickles me, thinking of the Minneapolis yogi. Oh, sure, now. Get your enlightenment here. And we were in the midst of some workshop exercise or another when he turned to me. I think he was being a little impatient with me, frankly, but he managed his best Jedi Knight voice, and he turned to me and said, "Tell me, how much of life would you like to hold?" And I said, eagerly, "Well, as much as possible, duh." At which point, he looked me up and down, and you can't see me, but I'm this tall, and said, "You will need a bigger vessel." And he was right, but I don't think I'm alone here. Couldn't we all use vessels that were just a little bigger, able to welcome a little more of what life offered us? Here we are, sitting out in this beautiful rain of life, falling all around us. And we miss so much of it because that vessel is a little teacup, a little coconut shell, sitting out trying to catch the breadth of the universe while it falls around us and evaporates so it can try to find us again. What we need are rain barrels. Vessels the size of gigantic barrels. Our universalist forefather Jose Avalu told us that happiness, real joy, is the goal of spiritual life, and that those things that steer us away from happiness are our sins. This is not to say, and I want to go on record here, this is not to say that your faith, your chosen faith, is based on power to party. This is not the good times religion, though sometimes it is. It's not that sort of happy that Hosea was talking about. He was talking about the deep happiness that comes from living side by side with the loving God. When we live more continuously in connection with the whole of existence, we feel joy. And our capacity to feel the joy in being connected to the whole of creation is so much of what we're trying to do with our spiritual lives. This is of special concern now because I hate to be the one to tell you, but joy is on the decline. It's true. In 1621, Robert Burton, an Anglican minister, wrote a huge book called The Anatomy of Melancholy, in which he identified this new illness afflicting an increasing number of people. He went on to describe something that sounds a lot like what we might call depression. He actually theorized that this disease had spread its way to England from Italy, which is really unlikely, I think. I think the Italians know how to have fun, but I digress. The point is that this disease of the spirit was spreading as he saw it, and he attributed it to the increasingly sedentary lifestyle of Europeans and urbanization, and, well, just a little bit to the English climate. This trend has not come to an end and seems to have infected much of Western culture, and particularly our culture. In fact, fewer and fewer Americans say that they're happy. Recently, the London School of Economics published a world happiness survey. A bunch of very serious economists sat down and said, "Oh, let's make a happiness survey." And what they ranked all the countries of the world, well, probably not all of them, but many of the countries of the world, based on the percentage of people who reported being happy in those places. We came out 46th, behind countries like the Dominican Republic, Estonia, and India. Bangladesh was number one. Our culture is making it harder and harder for us to open up, to remain flexible and receive blessings. Our vessels are shrinking in the relentless heat of shame and fear imposed by advertising, cycles of abuse and addiction, violence, and especially isolation. The world seems always to just be pressing in on our walls. Our experience of suffering make us want to thicken our walls and harden them to protect us. But in trying to make it harder for the suffering to get in, we also make it hard for the joy to get in. I think sometimes of my spiritual life as this clay pot on a spinning wheel going round and round, and I'm constantly worrying at that pot, trying to pull the edges up taller and taller, when maybe what I should really do is be pulling them out and lying them flat. Since I was told that I had a tiny vessel, I've been doing a lot of thinking about my container, about the God-shaped hollow that longs so much to be filled, but paradoxically can only be filled by being empty. I've learned something about saving that space by watching my mom do puzzles. In the last couple of years, she's taken up puzzles as a way to relax, and I've got to say, her newly founded and unbridled enthusiasm for puzzle doing had me a little confused and just a teeny bit worried. It's getting a little obsessive. However, my view changed when this winter my granny got really ill after an episode of kidney failure, and my mom came out from California to care for her mother at home. And for days, she did that hard work that so many of you know of taking care of someone you love so much who is critically ill. It's exhausting. So one evening, my brother and I decided that she needed a pick-me-up, and we went to the nearest mall and purchased a puzzle. Really tacky one. It's got Elvis and Marilyn Monroe and Humphrey Bogart and James Dean all at the movie theater throwing popcorn at each other and stuff. And 3 or 4 days later, I came home to Granny's and gratified to see my mother sitting at the puzzle at the dining room table. I let her be with it and sat down to read the paper. Every now and then, after fitting a piece into its spot, and you probably have had this experience if you're a puzzle doer, and I have to admit I've had this experience now, but when fitting a piece into a spot, she let out a little grunt of satisfaction. If it were a particularly hard one, you know, like where it's, you know, the black curtain behind them in the movie theater, you know, and you just got to get that one piece in that big sea of black, you know. If it was one of those, she'd let out a little, I'm serious. And if it was especially hard, she might go, yes. And now and then in my life, things seem to come together, and that God-shaped hollow, the vessel, is filled in such a way that I can almost hear my spirit saying, and I swear this is what I hear, yes. Little amens that are let out in recognition of a completion, of something coming into place, revealing the whole picture and allowing me to experience my connection to that whole picture. The God-shaped hollow has this shape that is mysterious. It's a shape that we are constantly in the process of discerning so that we can know how to fill it, because we want it filled. In fact, this may be the root of all our wants. But then too often we try to fill it with things that just don't fit, like trying to press a penny or something in that space, or a pan of brownies, something, anything we think that will fill that space, but doesn't allow us to experience the whole picture. These false idols end up filling our vessels with junk and leaving less room for God or its equivalent to pour in. So the first step in creating more space for joy is clutter control. Get rid of all that stuff. It's a little bit like the Home and Garden Channel, you know, where the feng shui expert comes in and cleans house on your soul. But the work does not stop there, because while a nice, empty, zen-like teacup is better than a full one full of stuff, It may not be big enough to invite into our lives all the opportunities for connection, for wholeness that life is offering us. Creating more space for joy in our lives involves both trying to keep the walls of our being flexible and actively pushing at them from the inside, and also allowing them to be pulled from the outside. This is where meditation comes in, and prayer, and loving those people that it's just really hard for us to like. It is also where being a part of a congregation comes in. And by congregation, I mean a community of people committed to a similar path, but still open to being moved by the organism of the whole. I think of dances, of concerts, of festivals, street fairs, parades, demonstrations, coming to church. In her recent book, Dancing in the Streets for Joy, Barbara Ehrenreich looks at how the increase of Western Protestant malaise corresponds with a decrease in community celebrations, like ecstatic ritual or festivals and dancing, and argues that there's a relationship between the lack of joy in a culture and a lack of opportunities for people to come together for events that promote spontaneous revelry. Some of that energy in those events comes from our vessels, at least for a time, stretching open to touch the walls of another, so that for that time we are one big vessel seemingly holding all that can be held. After it's over, we may shrink back some, but that stretching has made us more roomy and our walls a little more pliant. Our capacity for joy is totally expanded by being in community. Often when we turn our individual experience over to the experience of a group, we expand ourselves. There's something about being open to the trajectory created by a group of which we're a part, rather than one that we control on our own, that pushes at the walls of our vessels, opens our hearts, and lets some sunshine in. I feel like I should cue a soundtrack. We have in this faith of ours a history, though, of being suspicious of gatherings that open us to too much energy of the group. Much of Unitarianism in particular emerged in response to the emotional appeals of revivalism and the Great Awakening. And so our forefathers preached for rationality in the face of what seemed to be, to them, a blind following. But I think perhaps this is a case of having thrown some of the baby, at least, out with the bathwater. There's a difference between having your emotions manipulated by a central figure and truly responding to the movement of a body of which you are a small part. Dancing in a group of people who are firmly planted in that moment, singing along with wild abandon, going to church even when we don't feel like it, playing a good game of soccer, this is the good stuff. In being with each other in these ways, we are increasing our capacity to endure suffering and to experience joy. I want to note that sometimes this takes some effort, not just for the introverts among like me who always have to kind of work myself up for something social, but also just to be a part of something over which we don't have that much control. I remember specifically a time when my father took me to hear a flute concert when I was 12, and I was learning to play flute at the time, and I was so eager to be there. And for the first song or two, I was rapt, you know, I was totally focused, and I was just so proud almost to be a part of that group of mostly adults listening to this wonderful music. And then after a while, my mind wandered, and I got a little bored and a little restless, and then I would almost, I'd catch myself getting kind of bored and restless, wandering, and I'd bring myself back, and I'd tune in for a little more. And even though I kept kind of getting a little bored, a little restless, in the end, when the audience leapt up and applauded for this experience we were, all had had, I did too. And I meant it, like just, wow. It's so wonderful to me to hear stories of the progress this congregation continues to make towards becoming more welcoming. Because that kind of work may seem like it's about welcoming people, but it is really about welcoming joy. It's about the truth that we are all connected, and we know that, and we want to experience it more and more. It's about folding the walls of this church flat on the sidewalks. It's about a posture that's not imposed from the outside, but is generated from our inner spaciousness. And it's about making our vessel big enough that we can hold so much more than we ever imagined. The Sufi poet Rumi said, "Someone fills up the cup in front of you." May our cups become barrels, and our barrels become wide platters, reaching out to touch the edges of those around us, so that soon, together, we are holding it all. Amen. So today is kind of special because in Unitarian Universalist congregations all around the country, all around the world, people are coming together for flower communion. And this is a time in which we truly, truly celebrate what each of us brings and the gorgeous meadow that we create when we come together and appreciate not only our differences, but the beauties of other people and the privilege of getting to be with people who we may not have chosen in any particular way, but who have become our neighbors in spirit. I invite you very soon to get up, and we'll start with the front rows and come on up and place your flower. We have flowers here for you if you didn't bring one, to stick in the trellis to create our little work of art up here. You can come up. her service. In the name of the providence which implants in the heart of the seed the future of the flower, which implants in our hearts that unrest which will not be quenched till people live lovingly with each other, we bless these flowers. Sages who sacrificed their lives to hasten the coming of the reign of mutual respect, we bless these flowers. May these flowers be for us the sign of the glory and variety to which we aspire, knowing the whole while that we are one family, the family of spirit and nature. Resolve, may we be strengthened by the spirit of love, that we ourselves may bloom in splendor of a joyful life, and endeavor to be ever more perfect. Amen. Please join me in our closing hymn. Our vessels open so that they're touching each other and holding.
bless you all.